Welcome, welcome. Once again, thank you to our children for being so brave and helping us today. For those of you who don't know, my name is Rachel Wilhelm. I'm the Next Gen pastor here, so I'm with the kids most weeks. That's why you don't see me in here. I'm over in that corner taking care of our amazing, amazing kids. So we've been talking in Kids Church all month about how God keeps his promises and how that can bring us the most immense joy because God is trustworthy. See, the true story of Jesus has been the source of deepest joy to billions of people across thousands of years, and it can be ours as well. Joy is a response of the heart, not to our external circumstances, but to the faithfulness and the goodness of God, shown most evidently in the gift of Jesus. We can experience a whole range of emotions and feelings alongside joy based on the things that we're going through, but joy can be present with it, anchored in confident hope that God will keep all his promises and carry us through whatever happens in the meantime. And a lot happens for us in the meantime, right? We live in a world that's marked by sin. We experience death, disease, battles that we can't seem to catch a break from. We face crushing disappointments, dead ends after dead ends, and so many things that just shouldn't be. Yet, we can be sure that God is trustworthy. The Word of God is filled to the brim with his promises, thousands of them, and not a single one has he ever broken, because that's who he is. We talked in Kids Church about how God promised a son to Abraham and Sarah, the very son that would be an ancestor of Jesus, who would fulfill the ultimate promise for Abraham. So they waited 15 years after that promise for their son. The longer they waited, the more impossible it seemed, and the more they despaired, thinking that it would never happen. They gave up hope and tried to make it happen their own way, as we often do. How long are we willing to wait for God's promises to us? Whether those are promises he's specifically spoken to us or promises in his word, do we watch for how God will keep his promises? Do we search for that? Or do we assume that he won't and try to fill our needs another way? The path of joy is trusting in God's promises. Each one is like a sigh of relief, a weight lifted off of our weary shoulders. Promises like, the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up when you feel weak with my victorious hand. Promises like the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary, as many of us are, and I will give you rest. You carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Will we trust that? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's an amazing promise. That doesn't have to be a guess. I can just go to him for forgiveness and he's never not going to forgive me. Woo. Nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's one of the deepest promises of the Bible. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God's best promise of all was Jesus himself. Do you guys know when he first promised to send Jesus in the Bible? It was Genesis, that's right. For bonus points, do you know what chapter of Genesis it was? It was. Well, you got it. You guys are a biblically literate church. I love it. In Genesis chapter 3, which is the same chapter that talks about the fall of man and how Adam and Eve sinned and there were consequences for that. And in God's explaining of the consequences for them and for the world, he's explaining that he's already got a plan to bring them back to him. He's already foreshadowing Jesus. He said, the Satan, I will cause hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. So he's prophesying even there that, hey, you're going to nip at his heel like that, but he's going to crush the head of Satan, that Jesus is going to crush the head of Satan and defeat sin and death and all the rest in Genesis 3. And then he just keeps promising and promising and promising. So from the moment that the problem of sin entered the world, God planned and promised to send Jesus. There was never a moment where that was not his plan. There was never a moment where he was freaking out, being like, oh, well, shoot, guess my plan to be close to humanity is ruined because they can't get it right. Whoops, oh well. No, it was always, always his plan to send Jesus to bring us back to him. He made an absurd number of promises about Jesus. He didn't have to, but he did. And he fulfilled every single one of them to show you and me exactly how trustworthy he is. How much he has the whole universe in his scopes and not a single detail goes unnoticed. Some of the prophecies about Jesus are incredibly specific. And he fulfilled every single one. His name is Jesus because he came to save us from our sins. He's called Emmanuel, which means God with us, because he brought the very presence of God to earth, removing every barrier that kept us far from him. Isaiah 61:1 says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's a good promise. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Those are amazing promises for you and me today. And all of this came to be through the story that our kids helped us share today. Hundreds of years after these prophecies and promises, when many had lost hope, felt abandoned, or were looking around for some other type of savior, how can we make this work? God's not going to come through, so how can I just do what I need to do to survive? But in God's perfect timing, Jesus entered the scene. The news that Jesus was born was amazing news because it meant that God had kept his promise to send a savior, that their patience and years and generations of trust had paid off, that God had not given up on them. God has not given up on you guys. And God was at work, physically, tangibly, to bring about healing and rescue for them. And this was not just good news for people who lived in Jesus's day or people who fit certain criteria. This is the best news for everyone, everywhere, that the creator and sustainer of the whole glorious universe has made himself known and paved the way for us to become close to him and receive his life. He offers us salvation, which is a big word, but it means to rescue, to set free, to heal, to bring to a state of wholeness. He was born to be our king, which means that he brought an end to the previous reign of sin and brokenness and shame, death and disease, oppression and injustice. He brings in a new kingdom, joy to the world. The Savior reigns. That's what it means that God is our king. It means his new kingdom is like these powers that used to be aren't power anymore. I have defeated that. And my kingdom is one of truth and justice and righteousness, righting wrongs, freeing us from the power of sin that kept us far from him, the brokenness that keeps us trapped in patterns of behavior that harms ourselves and others. God came and his kingdom does away with that. It sets us free. In his kingdom, he offers healing and restoration to wholeness in every sense of the word. Not only that, but he is a gentle and humble king who loves us so very deeply that he stepped down from his throne in heaven to become Emmanuel, God with us. So what should our response be? The response of the shepherds and the wise men, which was joy, it was awe, it was wonder and worship. Hey, spoiler alert for next week, kids. Our big idea for next week is Jesus is worthy of our worship. Bonus points if you were going to remember that for next week. Jesus is worthy of our worship. See, the shepherds hurried to see for themselves what the angels had told them about. They wanted to see with their own eyes to confirm that it was real, and they were excited to have the chance to witness the salvation plan of God unfolding before their very eyes. They felt honored to be among the first entrusted with the sacred news, even though they were not considered important by society. The good news was for everyone. And after they saw Jesus, the Bible says that they returned to their communities, telling everyone what they had seen, glorifying and praising God for what they had seen. So they worshiped by telling others what they had heard and seen and glorifying and praising God with their voices, with their mouths. So that's one way that we can respond, or a couple different modes of worship that we can respond in. Then there were the wise men who spent 2 years just on their journey to get to Jesus. They had been watching the stars and waiting because they knew that there were prophecies and promises about a star that would come that would show the new true king. And they had been spending their lives studying and watching and waiting. That's worship. As we wait upon God to reveal himself and to lead us, that's worship. They searched the stars for the ruler of all rulers who deserved to be followed. They gave 2 years of their lives. They packed up. They said, I gotta go. I gotta go find this star. I gotta go find this new king because I have to worship him. He deserves my attention and my respect and my devotion. So that was a sacrifice of time for them. They packed up. They gave their lives in search of him. Traveling, trusting that this king was worth the sacrifice. That's worship. In humility, when they found him, they bowed before him. Little tiny baby in a manger. They bowed before him because they knew that he was the king. And he deserves the humility of us. He deserves our worship. They gave him costly gifts. So how will you respond today to Jesus and his good news? How will you respond to the fact that God keeps his promises, including the best promise of all, which is Jesus? That Jesus is the best news ever. And that he is worthy of our worship. So what promise of God brings you joy today? And how will you respond to him in worship?